Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I'd like to say good morning to everyone. Hope you're having a great day so far and that you'll continue to listen in. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I'm looking forward to the broadcast today. We're going to be talking about 9/11, 9/11, a turning point. That's what I've been thinking about. And the 10-year anniversary is coming up this Sunday. It will be the 10-year anniversary of 9/11-2001, which now I would say most of the people in the world just refer to that as 9/11 and know what you're talking about. But before we get into the content of the radio broadcast, I want to say good morning to Noah. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. It's good to be here today. We want to say thank you to all the listeners who are listening in, those on AM 1450 right here in Boone, and also those listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
Noah, 9/11 is one of those things that everybody, if you're old enough to remember, you remember what you were doing on 9/11. I was going to ask you right off the bat. You were 8 years old at the time. What do you remember about 9/11?
Well, I remember I was in the family room doing some schoolwork. And I remember you coming in, and you had just gotten a phone call from someone, I don't know who, and we ran over to the little TV we had. We didn't use it often, and you cut it on. I remember you moving the antenna around and stuff, trying to get the signal and watching it around that.
Right. Mm-hmm. We were in Idaho at that time. Of course, you remember that, but our listeners may not know that, but I was a missionary pastored the Faith Baptist Church in Burley, Idaho. And, of course, there's a two-hour time difference between the East Coast and living in Idaho, Mountain Time. And one of the men in the church called me, and he said, "Pastor, do you know what's going on?" And I said, "No, I don't know. He said, "You need to turn your TV on." And we had a little TV, and we brought it up into the kitchen, and we didn't even have cable. We had to get the antenna, and we could get the local channel, you know. And just about the time that we got it clear enough to see, it was just a minute or two, and the second plane hit the South Tower. And I just remember just couldn't believe it, just the shock, anger, sadness. I remember just being tore up about the whole situation. You know, nobody at that time, not even the people that were in charge, a lot of them didn't even know what was going on. And so it was one of those things that if you're old enough to remember anything about it, you will never forget where you were and what you were doing when 9/11 took place. And I believe it was either later that day or the next day there in the little town. Now, when we lived out there, it's not like around here. You don't have a church on every corner, but they were talking about on the radio that some of the churches were going to open their doors and have special prayer. And so we called into the radio station and set up a time, and we went down to the church, and people came. People came to the church, and we had a storefront rented, and we had renovated and turned it into a church building at that time, or by that time. And people came, and we had prayer, people who I had never seen before and I never seen after that, but people came and had prayer. People just wanted to go somewhere and do something, and of course, living that far away, that's about all we could do. But in the time period since then, I would say this, the revival of 9/11 didn't last very long, some places more than others. Of course, there was a shock in our nation and people concerned and, you know, a seeming turn to God, but that did not last very long at all. And I noticed the other day in the newspaper that this coming weekend, the 9/11 anniversary, 10-year anniversary, clergy-led prayer will not be allowed in New York City or in any of the official events there. It's always interesting, you know, when tragedy comes, when catastrophe hits, people do not turn away prayer. They do not turn away the help of churches, ministries, but get a little bit removed from that and the hard heart comes back. And then, you know, now we don't want to mention God. We don't want to pray. We don't want to have anything to do with that. So 10 years removed, there's not even going to be clergy-led prayer allowed at the 9/11 events. You know, as a pastor and a Christian, I cannot help but look at 9/11 and the 10 years since then, but from a spiritual standpoint. And that's what I want to talk about today. And if I was given a title to the broadcast, I would call it 9/11, a turning point, because I do believe that was a turning point. As we look back in retrospect, we're looking back at what happened and what has happened since then. And I won't have time to deal with everything today, but I do believe that was a turning point for our nation. Some people, they interpret 9/11 as a wake-up call to America, and even a pun intended there, you know, 911, an emergency call, God sending out a wake-up call to America. And they will say that that was God trying to get our attention to turn again to Him. But actually, as we study the Bible and what the Bible teaches about such things, the Bible teaches that it's not the harshness, it's not the judgment, it's not the wrath of God that leads people to repent, but it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. The Bible teaches this, and I've got a few scriptures I'm going to share today. Usually we deal with history and we're going back 200 years, but today we're just going back a few years. But in Romans chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 5, the Bible says over there, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." He said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. And I'm going to be talking today about the judgment of God in 9/11 in light of the judgment of God. But he said, we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? He says, there's some of you despise the riches of his goodness, you despise his forbearance, you despise his long suffering. Then he says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so he says there, you may not realize it, but it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And he talks about how God had been good to him and his forbearance and his goodness and his long suffering. But if you turn God's goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, his hand of mercy away, time after time after time, there comes a point where the goodness of God passes off the scene and the wrath of God comes in that place. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a just God. Many things I could say today. The Bible is full of gracious invitations to come unto Him. Let Him make the difference. Stop turning our back on Him. I could give many examples. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is probably one of the greatest examples of a offer for God to heal the land that there is in all the Bible. The Bible says over there, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. God says, if you turn unto me, you repent, you humble yourselves, I will have mercy, I will heal your land. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But when judgment finally does come, and this is where I want to focus on today, the turning point of 9/11, God offers, God pleads, God begs, God asks us to return unto Him. But when we turn and we turn and we turn, there comes a place when judgment finally does come from the Lord, then it's too late. And it is sent because the gracious invitation has been spurned and mocked. And so when we think about this in light of the Bible, was 9/11 a wake-up call, or was it the beginning of the judgment of God upon a nation that has spurned and turned from His many, many gracious invitations? I read in the book of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and I encourage people read a chapter a day. Whatever the day of the date of the month is, read that chapter. And I've been in that habit for years and years, and I encourage others to do the same thing. But in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse number 24, we find an example of this. You know, if you don't listen, there's going to come a point where it's too late, and all you're going to reap is the judgment of God. And then when you cry out, God's not going to hear. Now that sounds harsh, but listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24, God said, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it naught, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." God said, you wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't listen to my rebuke. You wouldn't listen to my counsel. He said, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." And I think that's very interesting when we look in light of what happened on 9/11. God talks there about your calamity, your desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. He talks about distress and anguish cometh upon you. I've been reading a book. In fact, yesterday it rained all day long, and I spent the day reading. I read about 100 pages, a little bit more than that, actually, just on the subject of 9/11 and what happened. And if you have never really looked into it, other than the official 9/11 report, you ought to do some studying and read some of the things that actually happened on 9/11. And there's just so much, I don't even have time to get into it. But I've got a book by Dr. William Grady entitled How Satan Turned America Against God. And he pointed out something in that book from Isaiah chapter number 26 that I had never seen before. There's a memory verse, something I would call a memory verse, in that chapter. It's Isaiah 26 and 3, and it simply says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Probably you've heard that before. It's just one of those comforting, helpful verses, and just a good word of God there. But I've always taken that personally, and that does apply personally. If you'll keep your mind on the Lord, He'll give you peace in your heart, and it's just a good verse. But what he pointed out in that book that I've never really noticed before is that in the context of the scripture, it is speaking to a nation. And if you go over there and read those surrounding verses, it's really eye-opening what the Bible is talking about there. I'm going to read a few verses in Isaiah 26 and verse 1. He said, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, just quickly, what those verses are talking about there. He talks about the safe city, the strong city, the peaceful city is the one that is righteous, that keeps the truth, that trusts in the Lord. He's saying a righteous nation that keeps the truth, that trusts in Jehovah God, that is the city that's a strong city, that the Lord will keep the gates, that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, verse number 5 is very interesting in light of 9/11. It says this, it says, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high. Think about 9/11 and what happened with the Twin Towers and World Trade Center number 7. There were 3 high-rise buildings that collapsed on that day. The Bible said he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low. 2 times it says that. He layeth it low, even to the ground. Remember what it's called up there in New York City. It's called Ground Zero. It said he layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. And you'll remember, those of you that know anything about it, the continuing saga of the rescue workers and janitors and all the people that came in to clean up all the mess, the toxic dust that fumed and boiled and covered the whole city, and people have gotten sick and cancer and lawsuits trying to get reimbursement from all this poison dust. God said in his word, before anything like that had ever happened, isn't that interesting? He bringeth it down, the lofty city, them that dwell on high. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. To me, that's very interesting. And also, I was reading a few weeks ago, I read through the Bible every year, and I was in the book of Zephaniah, and I noticed something over there in the book of Zephaniah. That's one of those small books at the end of the Old Testament. Just 3 chapters is all that it is, but Zephaniah, he prophesied about the same thing that Isaiah was talking about. And in the book of Zephaniah, chapter number 1, I'm going to read a few verses over there. Verse number 14 says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. And I think about, if I think about this in light of 9/11, now I'm not saying that this is prophesying about 9/11, but I will say that what happens in these verses happened on 9/11. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. We have, if you remember back, you have the fire department, the firemen, you have the policemen, you have the rescue workers, you have the politicians, you have everybody that seen that and was involved crying bitterly. There's death, there's destruction. We haven't seen anything like this in America, any of us, ever in our time. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And those of you that remember that seen it on TV when the towers came down and the dust clouds and the smoke and everything billowed through the city, it was worse than anything you've ever seen in any Hollywood movie. And there was gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities. Not only was it there in New York City that was affected, but it affected every city in America. The whole nation, our airline system shut down. Every city in America goes on alert. We don't know what's happening. The president is being shuttled all over the country, Louisiana. Then I think he ended up in Nebraska. Then he finally comes back to Washington, and there's just a national scare on. And God set a day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. That's the only place in the Word of God you find the phrase against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. Because of the dust, because of confusion, people didn't know what was going on. They wandered around like blind people because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. And all those people, those 3,000 plus people that were killed, most of them weren't recovered. Most of them were just ended up in the dust, ended up being thrown out in the dust. Their blood, their flesh was all mingled together. You say that is a horrible picture. Yes, it is. But I'll tell you, that's what happened on 9/11. And we see that in the book of Zephaniah, chapter number 1. In the 10 years since 9/11, America has not gotten closer to God. America has gotten farther away from God and His righteousness. We are not like the nation in Isaiah chapter number 26 that guards righteousness and keeps the truth. We've gotten farther and farther away from God in the past 10 years. And there's definitely been a turning point from 9/11, what has happened in our nation in the past 10 years. We've gotten farther away from God, not closer to God. For example, just a few months ago in New York, the whole state passed a law that made it legal for homosexual marriage to take place. Now, it's a free country, and you can just believe whatever you want to. It's a free country. Really and truly, what you believe, what I believe, I do believe in that, that it's a free country. People can believe what they want to do, want to believe, but whatever you believe will not change what God says about it. And God in His Word, the Bible says that that is an abomination, not just one place, but several places. And see, no matter if the whole world came along and said, you know what, we think that's all right, God would never think it's all right. Doesn't matter how people come along and say, well, we're modern and we're not in the Stone Age and we're not Puritans and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. Malachi 1:6, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. If anything has ever been wrong in God's eyes, it's still wrong. And it's wrong. And so, but people don't care if it's wrong or if it's right. They're going to do what they want to do. Chaplains in the military now, I'm talking about in the United States of America, chaplains in the military can no longer pray over our dead soldiers in Jesus' name. That's where we are in America today. We're not getting closer to God. We're getting farther and farther away from God. Any public expression of God or Christianity is attacked. It is protested against. It is hauled into court to be sued and caught up and spend money, and the judges and all of these things. Last year in King, North Carolina, big uproar about the Christian flag at the Veterans War Memorial. Right now in North Carolina, in Forsyth County, the Board of Commissioners down there, there's a lawsuit. They want to take it to the Supreme Court. They were simply opening up. They had a first-come, first-pray policy. Didn't matter if you're a Christian, didn't matter if you're a Muslim, didn't matter if you were whatever. If you lived in the county and you wanted to pray before the public meeting, you could come in and pray. Well, because most of the people are Christians, the prayers were being made in Jesus' name, and now they've been outlawed. Now they're in court over praying and just opening up a public meeting in prayer and letting some citizen come and do that. And on, we could give example after example along those lines. And it's no wonder then, when we think about where our nation has went in the past 10 years, it's no wonder that this past decade will be remembered by the great catastrophes and upheavals, not only in America, but in the whole world. Remember, 9/11 happened at the World Trade Center, and it didn't affect Americans and America. Do you remember that there were 90 countries that lost citizens on 9/11? That wasn't just a wake-up call to America, but I believe the whole world. And since then, in the past 10 years, tsunamis like the world has never seen before, earthquakes, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, drought, wars, revolutions, economic meltdowns. I mean, we could that's just common everyday news in the newspaper. In fact, today's front page of the Winston-Salem Journal had three things along those lines. One said, "Third time's no charm. Irene is third disaster in a year for Birdie County." Another one said, "Lee whips up trouble in the South. Tropical storm brings rain, tornado watches to Triad." And the other article said, "Fire destroys nearly 500 Texas homes." Why, that sounds almost like something right out of the Bible. But you know what? There's a lot of people that say, "Yeah, that's right. I believe that's right. I believe God's trying to get our attention." But there's a whole other group of people. And just by way of example, in that same newspaper that I read the front page of this morning, over in the editorial section, there is an article that is entitled, it says this, it says, "The Case for Separation of Church and Weather." And what it is saying in this article, I do not have time to read it, but what it is saying is that the church, Christians, should never say anything about the weather, because there's always been earthquakes, there's always been floods. It goes down at the very end and it gives examples. It says there's always been drought. It says it's time to build a wall or a levee between church and weather. Natural disasters aren't punishment, and religion isn't a Doppler radar. She goes on down. It's a woman, Tina Dupay, from Kegel Cartoons. So she's a cartoonist, you know. It goes on down. It says, "What does this mean? Nothing. Don't mean anything. Don't pay no attention to that. Don't listen to them crazy. Don't listen to that preacher on the radio talking about, you know, this is God's hand judging us." But I'll give you a little homework. My time's about gone. Google deadliest decade or costliest decade. And just read the first few articles that comes up under either one of those, deadliest decade or costliest decade. And you know what decade that is? That is this decade, from 9/11 to right now, and all these catastrophes and all of these things. You know what the Bible also said in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 12? It said, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." See, they had the attitude, "Oh, this is not the judgment of God. God don't do that. He doesn't do good. He doesn't do evil. Don't worry about that." You know, the Bible points out foolishness, and the foolish don't even recognize that they're being pointed out. Well, no matter who done it, and I'm not even going to get into that today, I would say this about 9/11. God could have prevented it had he chose to, had he wanted to. And I'm not saying that I know something that others do not know. This is just my humble opinion, some things that I've observed over the last 10 years since 9/11, that our nation never heeded the wake-up call. And we get farther and farther away from God, and things get worse and worse and worse. And people say among themselves, "God does neither evil nor good. Don't pay any attention to that. It doesn't mean anything." I do believe we need to remember 9/11, and we ought to remember it in light of what the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And so I hope you remember that as you think about it this weekend. We appreciate you listening in. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. Go ahead, Noah.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.